Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was
filled with football.
Filled with football.
I know. That's the. So I know people aren't necessarily fans of two Monday night games because the late one, the West Coast game, doesn't start till 10 o'clock. But what it does is it pushes that first game to 7 instead of having to wait so late.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see a snap of Chargers Raiders, but I saw all of that game with Baker Mayfield and the Bucs coming back again, another fourth quarter comeback. They're 2-0. They're going to be one of those teams in the NFC fighting for the one seed.
Yeah, and that's Baker Mayfield going into that game was 1-7 on Monday night. And so you're kind of thinking, well, maybe he's got a bugaboo about Monday nights, and he got over that hurdle. So they are, that's why I had him last the last couple of weeks in that power surge.
Think about this. He didn't have either tackle by the end of that game. No Wirfs to start, no Gedeki as the game got going. He's got no tackles, and he's got to come back at the end of the game and win it. And he extended a big fourth down with his legs, and they found their way into the end zone.
Charlie with a great block. It was funny because Charlie Heck, the right tackle, his dad was one of my teammates, Andy Heck, with the Washington Commanders, Washington Redskins. He's now the O-line coach at the Chiefs. Anyway.
Yeah, the way you said Charlie, I'm like, am I supposed to know who this guy
is? Yeah, sorry. Charlie. Yeah.
Everybody knows good old Charlie, the third tackle.
I've known Charlie since he was about 5 years old. Anyway.
Got away with the trip on that play.
Yeah, that's the thing is, at first, when you see it in real time, I know that Buck and Aikman were talking about, oh, look at this great block. And I'm looking at going, wait, he whiffed. He totally whiffed. And then they slow it and show it in slow-mo. And I'm like, oh, that's from his dad. That's a trick. That's an old school trick right there. Got away with the trip.
Can I say it was a heck of a block?
Okay. I like how we're starting out. Well done.
What we got on the show today, no Dan Campbell. Sorry. They're playing on Monday night. Everything's shifted today. Dan Campbell will join us tomorrow morning. We'll have Lions tickets tomorrow morning. You're going to want to be up bright and early. Early bird gets the worm. We got Lions tickets every Wednesday to give away. Mm-hmm. We play Name That Lion. Today on the show, you got the two grand slam. Hold on, a chance to win $2,000. That's not too bad. We have Greg Palm, and my understanding is every team in the top 12 is undefeated, a combined 37-0. No time for losers. We'll get to that coming up at 6:35 this morning. And John, we can take a little more time on the college teams on Tuesday. You know, the Lions wash over us. We talk about them all Monday. Wolverines and Spartans. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I'd like to know what everybody saw on Saturday. What'd you like? What'd you not like? And there's a lot to like about the Michigan team, as long as you're not a chip. Sorry, buddy.
You beat us by 60 points, John.
Did we? Is that what the difference was?
Yeah, John.
Wait, 63 minus 3, 60. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We can do math at a Mac school.
But, I mean, the story of it was Bryce Underwood. Now, opponent, and again, I don't mean any disrespect.
Just say what you need to say.
I don't mean any disrespect. It's not Oklahoma. Let's just say that. Central Michigan, I think we can agree, is not Oklahoma.
Now, you treated us like Oklahoma opening up the playbook.
Well, we didn't treat you like Oklahoma because the way we treated Oklahoma was just was very kind.
Right. You should have used that game plan against the Sooners. For better or worse, you may still lose the game, but I think if you're a Michigan fan, you're happy to see the offense open up.
Right. And so there were some things that they did in Oklahoma game that just didn't work out. And there was a couple quarterback runs. It wasn't blocked well. And so you don't have a chance to see Bryce do what he did this past Saturday. Now all of a sudden you get 9 quarterback runs. I think there were only 3 of those that were actually called quarterback runs. The other ones were him just protection broke down, nowhere to throw the ball, and he makes something happen, and he runs for over 100 yards.
John, he threw more passes against Central in a game he didn't finish than he did against Oklahoma in a game they were trailing. It was not called well 2 weeks ago.
No, it wasn't. And so when you're thinking about, okay, because that was the big question last week was, are they going to open up the playbook? Are they going to let Bryce do more? Are they going to, you know, is everything on the table? And we didn't really know going into that game, but I talked to Biff, Coach Biff, yesterday, and asked him the question about Nebraska. You go on the road to Oklahoma, not a full compliment. You go on the road to Nebraska. Are you going to do things a little bit differently? Or what's going to be the options for Bryce? And this is what he told me.
No holding back.
Full compliment for Bryce, this offense. Now, what it really comes down to is, yeah, he can make some plays against a team like Central Michigan. It's going to be it's not going to be Oklahoma going to Nebraska, but there are so the ceiling for the teams that they've played so far, Oklahoma at the top.
Yes.
Then it'll be Nebraska, then it's New Mexico Central, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be more speed, it's going to be more competition, better tacklers, it's going to be better up front. The question I have isn't Bryce. The question I have is, can the offensive line block?
Oh, certainly to help them out. The way I looked at it is there's a total risk in opening up your offense because it could turn into a catastrophe. And the great example of that would have been what happened in Death Valley on Saturday night when Florida played LSU. They went down swinging and Lagway threw five interceptions, including a pick six. Look, you open up the floodgates and it can get ugly in a hurry. But the alternative is what happened against Oklahoma, where you're left wondering what if. And if you're Michigan, you can't leave Nebraska wondering what if.
Well, Nebraska is not LSU's defense.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the risk in opening up with a young quarterback is turnovers start to multiply and they avalanche.
Okay.
And it's why coaches tend to be conservative. But what I'm telling you is you'd rather that than going, well, we hardly threw the ball and we just kind of ran it and hung out in the middle of the field and settled for field goals. Like, you don't want to be that team where you go on the road and you don't give yourself a chance to win.
No, and what I said last week was there's a risk and reward with the young quarterback. The risk is what you saw with DJ Lagway. Now, DJ Lagway is not a young quarterback, but he's played against a much better defense.
That was his first road SEC game.
This is an individual in Bryce that has a lot of talent. And there's no denying he's a tremendous athlete in terms of being able to run, his awareness, his presence, all of those things. It feels like he's a little bit ahead of where some other quarterbacks are at this time of their development. He's also got an absolute rifle. And what I liked about him is the touchdown to Samaj Morgan showed some touch.
His best throw of the day.
Showed some awareness. Hey, I'm under pressure. I'm going to loft this one up. I'm going to let a receiver run underneath it. I don't know the last time that there was a pass like that from anybody wearing a Michigan uniform where he just throws it up and says, okay, I'm going to trust my guy. Go get it. Let him make a play. There was another one to Hogan Hansen where it's a 50-50 ball. Like, I'm going to trust my receiver to go get it. So there is a risk that some of those could turn into interceptions. But the reward is what you saw on Saturday. He threw an interception. It was a bad throw. It was a bad decision.
Oh, the decision was the worst part.
Yeah, but everything else that happened, 114 yards on the ground, 235 through the air, he threw for a touchdown, ran for two more. Like, the reward greatly outweighs the risk.
Yeah, look, and it's going to be on the road. It's going to be against faster players. Windows are going to close. He may have multiple turnovers. They may lose the game. But you want to go down swinging. And I think if you're a Michigan fan, you're not pumping your chest because you beat Central by 60. You're excited because you think you're going to see the full Bryce show for better or worse the rest of the way. And that will give Michigan the highest ceiling, the highest chance to achieve whatever goal they're going to achieve this season.
And unless you are in a position to make those mistakes in coachable moments, at some point, okay, no quarterback is going to go through a season without throwing an interception. If you throw enough passes, it's going to happen. Defenses make great plays. You make mistakes. You learn from those mistakes. You have to be in those situations to actually understand what it means to throw that interception, what it means that the cost that it gives you. Now, it didn't cost a lot against Central.
No.
But you come to the sideline, and if you're a competitor, you're like, okay, how did that happen? What happened? Why did I do that? What was I looking at? Now, all of a sudden, you have something to learn from. You got to have those moments. And if you're not exposed to them, you're stunting your growth.
Perfectly said. Let's start the MSU conversation. I know we'll continue it before the news. But Michigan fans, you're welcome to join in 248-539-9797. Your big takeaways from this weekend and clearly what it says about the games moving forward. Nebraska looms large. For MSU, They got a defense problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I pull it up. They played Youngstown State, and they let them hang in that football game. John, they have given up the third most yards in the Big Ten. The only teams that have given up more yards are Rutgers and UCLA, and UCLA fired their coach. The only team giving up more points in the Big Ten is UCLA, and they fired their coach. And it's not like MSU can claim that they've played a gauntlet to start the season to where it's distorted. The only significant opponent they played, Boston College, just lost to Stanford.
Ooh.
Yeah. So MSU's defense is the biggest issue right now. We talk about Chiles and giving them an 8 or 9 win ceiling. The defense makes it so... The defense could hold them out of a bowl game. It's that bad right now.
Well, I don't necessarily know it's the entire defense.
The secondary's given up the most yards.
Secondary's given up the most yards, but I think they have a pass rush problem.
Agreed.
And so I know it's one of those, hey, it all goes hand in hand, but unless you're able to pressure the quarterback, you're going to have some issues in the secondary. You just are, especially at the college level. And I think that's the biggest issue.
Believe they're going to be underdogs in 8 of their next 9 games. Doesn't mean they're going to lose 8 of their next 9 games, but you're going to require Aiden Chiles to steal a bunch if you're going to get where you want to get, and that's just going to be... It's just going to be asking too much of the guy at the end of the day.
Well, I don't know if it's asking too much of him at the end of the day.
To win
I
9 think, games with this defense would be.
Okay, well, okay, so that you
yeah,
think...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, are you asking to win the other 9 games?
Well, no, I would think they should
and
win
go
more
undefeated?
Than, no, they need to win more than one of the next 9 games.
Yeah,
and if they're going to get to 9, they have to win the majority of the next 9 games.
Okay, I'm not going to overwrite, because after they beat Boston College, now we learned more, and you mentioned, hey, Boston College lost to Stanford. After they beat Boston College, I said, I think this should be an 8-win team. I think it still can be an 8-win team. Even though they're not favored in those games, there are moments for Jonathan Smith to have, you know, one or multiple program victories. And what we said about Boston College, like, I'm not going to go back and say that was a program victory, but it was necessary. If they had lost, it would have been a catastrophic loss.
Chances for program wins include this week, 11 o'clock reminder for this upcoming Saturday at USC. They also play at Nebraska.
11 a.m.
11 p.m. John.
Oh, ugh.
They play at wow. Indiana. They get Michigan with a number next to their name. They've got Penn State. Look, they got to win at Iowa. They got to win at Minnesota. There's a bunch of games looming for MSU, and you got to win these games in year two. All right, Michigan and Michigan State fans, we open up the phone lines for you guys to kick off a Tuesday show. It's 97.1.
What's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credit supplied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, 97.1, 6:50. The Lions have played 2 football games, 2 very different football games. Which team was the real Lions? Get to it at the end of the hour. Michigan, Michigan State from over the weekend. We begin the show talking about them. They get shortchanged on Mondays, so we try to give them a little extra love on Tuesday. Michigan, I don't think the Wolverine fans are thumping their chest because they beat my Chips by 60. I think you're excited because you see playbook opening. And maybe 1 week later than you'd like, But, John, they still have a lot of football left to play, and they want to see Bryce Underwood, for better or worse, sink or swim. And all the talk has been that's what they're going to do.
Well, I think there's been a very measured progression for Bryce Underwood. And that progression is to get to Big Ten play. And I know everybody wants to say, well, you should have beat Oklahoma, or you should have opened up the playbook to have a better chance to beat Oklahoma. In today's college football, I mean, just ask Tennessee. What we talk about Michigan, talk about these teams that have one loss. Okay, it doesn't prevent you. We're talking about Notre Dame yesterday having 0-2. And if they run the table because they are Notre Dame, they will still be in the college football playoffs. Whether you want them to be or not, whether they deserve to be or not, a 10-2 Notre Dame is getting in.
Do you realize they're still ranked? They're the only team without a win in the AP Top 25.
And I get that they played to...
I don't care. You got to beat somebody. Right.
Yes, you have to beat somebody. But that to my point...
Yeah, I know. I'm just helping you out.
Is why... Well, thanks for the help.
Of course. From here for, buddy.
But so you look and you say, okay, well, they should have done more against Oklahoma. And I agree, but it's not fatal.
No.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, hey, you get to the Big Ten play, Nebraska, USC, and the schedule is favorable for Michigan. You got, Wisconsin, who can't figure out who they are, Purdue, whatever you want to call them, Northwestern. Like, you look at the schedule, and it sets up really well, but anything, you have to have the full complement of playbook against Nebraska, against USC to start the Big Ten schedule.
And it's going to be a big game we spotlight all week. It's not just going to be Bryce. Like, do the pass catchers have it? We have to see the development with them. The offensive line, you've continued to harp on. Mm-hmm. And I would say for Michigan, it's not only who they play, it's who they don't play. They're not going to play Penn State or Oregon in the regular season, which opens up some doors for them. MSU, they're not going to play Ohio State or Oregon. And it's not the gauntlet they had a year ago, but their questions are on defense right now. Because only UCLA has given up more points in the Big Ten. And for as excited as I am to see Aiden Childs continue to blossom, they're going to ask a lot of this guy, I mean, just to make a bowl game with this defense, let alone win the 8-9 games we've been discussing.
Right. Well, I mean, we talk about Bryce and his development. Let's talk about the same thing with Aiden Childs. 8 carries, 76 yards. He's their leading rusher. Now, is that ideal?
No.
It's same thing with Michigan. Underwood is their leading rusher. Is that ideal? No. But you're going to have to be able to lean on Aiden Childs to make plays. 270 yards through the air, that along with 76 on the ground, should be good enough to win games. But you're going to have to get at least some stops on defense.
Text from a Spartan fan. This weekend was embarrassing. We had to squeeze by a D2 school or whatever they are. Well, we had to go to double OT to a team that got blown out by lowly Stanford. I fear we've already reached the peak of our win total for the year. Well, that's not true. You get UCLA in a couple weeks. You get at least 4.
Okay. Well, the goal is to win the games. It doesn't matter how pretty or ugly they are. Did they win the game? Yes. They won it 41-24. And I understand that the score may be a little bit not indicative of the game. You beat Boston College. I don't care what Boston College does after you beat them. It's kind of irrelevant. You
early on in the season, your psyche as a fan.
Well, it does as a fan, but it's simply score one more than the opponent. And I think Michigan State right now, they've done what they had to do in the non-con. They went 3-0. Now they've got to find 3 more wins at a minimum in the Big Ten season, which I think they will do. And then it's, can they get 7 or 8 wins?
Football Talk is brought to you by CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games all season long. Just $30 for the first year. It's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Here's Heather with the news.
Well, Ford Motor Company is moving its world headquarters for the first time in 7 decades this November. So the company will be moving from the iconic glass house to a new state-of-the-art facility just 3 miles down the road. So they're not moving far. They'll be at the heart of their Dearborn campus now. The new 2.1 million square foot structure will formally be called Ford World Headquarters. It's designed to enhance collaboration and innovation. Basically, now everybody is going to be in one area, right? So once fully completed, up to 4,000 people can work at the new head the new headquarters. And then Ford says 14,000 employees will be in a 15-minute walk of each other. So everyone will be right there. And then Ford plans to demolish the glass house by the end of 2027 or mid-2028. They will preserve the ownership of that property in case they need it for future use. But basically, they say it's going to be like a park-like environment. Yeah. So
cool.
Just completely randomly throwing this out there. New Lions headquarters. Site.
I mean, there had been talk about moving from Allen Park, but I think logistically it's a lot to do.
They need more space. They do mention sports fields and other amenities. So.
So it all comes down to parking.
Which is not enough of it at Allen Park right now.
Right, not enough of it at Allen Park. And obviously real estate to be able to get more people at training camp.
Yeah,
it's possible.
This is the dart of speculation.
I don't even know if it's
as much space as I think it is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to kind of think about that.
It says it would open up about 100 acres for public use.
Yeah, how many acres are they on now, Tom?
If that does anything for you, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, 74.5. I don't know. Yeah.
The Red Wings have unveiled their official centennial uniform commemorating their 100th anniversary this upcoming season. So the team was established in 1926, was one of, the six original franchises, originally known as the Detroit Cougars, later the Detroit Falcons, before adopting the Red Wings name. Yes, John.
The Cougars.
Yeah. They became the Red Wings in 1932. So the new centennial jersey pays tribute to the team's history. And the jersey will make its debut during the team's home opener, October 9th. Then they will wear it during select games in the future. Go online, check it out. I think it's cool. Do you like it, Jim?
Yeah,
I know.
It's really good. I wish the team playing in it was good as well. But these jerseys are clean. They're nice.
I like them.
I think they mixed classic without getting too crazy.
Does it say which games in the future? It says select games.
I don't know if they haven't
put it on the schedule. Not I was just wondering if you have any of those games.
I'm sure I will. I mean, I'm going to 20 odd home games. Yeah. I mean, I'd hope there'd be a couple. They're good jerseys.
All the games you're not going to.
I Googled the Lions headquarters, and AI says it's 23 acres. So that would triple the size or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Plenty
God
of space.
Yeah,
twice, three times the size.
There you go.
This story feels like deja vu. You guys, another boat exploded. This time Sunday, but all the occupants on the boat were ejected. Happened in Harrison Township. The boat was anchored in bay. This was Sunday afternoon. Two adults, two kids were on board. And authorities say that when the boaters were attempting to leave, apparently the engine compartment flamed up and exploded.
Yeah.
Everyone, like I said, was ejected. Another boat helped the four people from the water, transported them to shore. They were provided medical care right there. Three out of the four sustained injuries obviously had to go to the hospital for further attention, but listed in stable condition. So
hopefully they'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Let's not have any more boat explosions, please.
No, please. Yeah.
Turn an engine fan on. Yeah.
Coming up next, it's Greg Palm. He's not going to rank a winless Notre Dame team. We'll get the top 12 teams in college football. It's 97.1. Football season is here, and so is the deal of the season. Moran Chevrolet, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer, has your deals. Save time and money at the pump. Go electric with the 2025 Equinox EV LT. Listen to this. You can lease it for $89 a month. 24 months. $999 down. I didn't stutter. Only $89 a month. Find your ride fast at MoranExpress.com. Stop by. They're on Gratiot, just north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Did I say $89 a month? Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
It's
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick note from Greg. The teams in his top 12 are a combined 37-0. The losers have been washed out. All that remain are the winners.
But we only rank the top 12, and we've only played 3 weeks of the season, and 3 times 12 is 36. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I will want to say that the one thing that I pull for the most on a Saturday is that the Greg Pomp game of the week ends up being a game worth your entertainment time. Bangers only last week. We considered three. Notre Dame, A&M, which was our pick. Georgia, Tennessee, Clemson, Georgia Tech. All three delivered. All three came down to one play at the end of the game. Shows me we're thinking about the right games to present to you. Now, we got a light slate this week in quantity, but we've got two games that really piqued my interest that we'll get to shortly. Number 12, Iowa State.
Ooh, Matt Campbell.
New friends, not just new friends, new conference. We finally have some representation from a fourth conference, being the XII. Now, they are taking advantage of the head start. They had the week zero win in Farmageddon. Cy-Hawk win over Iowa coming up. They have a bye week before they open up, or not really open up. I'm sorry about the Kansas State game, but they have a bye before Arizona,
right,
who's also 3-0. Mm-hmm. Number 11, another new friend, Georgia Tech. Bees!
55-yard nuke to win the game against Clemson, and they did the run him on the field as the clock's ticking, and no pressure. He just strokes it.
Yeah.
Fire drill field goal. By the way, that's a school record 55-yarder. I've got a soft spot in my heart for an engineering school. And yes, what a win against Clemson.
They're terrible. Who thought they were going to be any good?
Yeah.
Can I interest you?
At least you have a win.
In Haynes King, dark horse Heisman candidate.
He's a warrior, man.
Supplanted Clemson, most importantly, in the ACC pecking order. They are playing Temple coming up this week. Number 10 is Oregon. Here's the million-dollar question for the Ducks. Are they punished for their own success, or are they beating up on a bunch of tomato cans? The opponents that they've played have zero FBS wins to their credit. Going to play another one of those teams. They've got the Civil War this week with Oregon State coming to Eugene, who's ranked 105th.
Yeah, and they're 35-point favorites in that rivalry game. Like, Oregon's a team I think could be the best in the country. I just can't prove it yet because they haven't played anybody. Now it's Penn State in 2 weeks, and that game is in Happy Valley at night. For a whiteout, there's no hiding with the schedule anymore.
No, it's you know who might be there?
You?
No.
Who?
Lucy.
Lucy.
Yeah, she's gonna go there. I think she's already got her tickets, and because one of her high school friends that she met across the country is there, and she's gonna be there for the whiteout.
She has
She's like, Dad, should I go? I'm like, yes,
yeah.
Can I go with you? Sorry, busy.
Number 9. How about USC? Another new friend. Like, this, we're meeting new friends. This is like college rush week. Solid but unspectacular wins. I don't expect a lot of future ROI in that Purdue win. They're going to be dictated by the future of their schedule in the Big Ten. Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Oregon, all on the future schedule for USC. And we talked about it. Michigan State, who's ranked 51st, they host this week at the Coliseum.
This one is just hard to figure out. Like, you're trying to figure out if Oregon's any good. We're trying to figure out if USC is any good. Beating up on Purdue, while Purdue may be a little bit marginally better than last year, they still allowed 17 points. Now, one of them was kind of a fluky touchdown, but they gave up over 300 yards passing to their quarterback, Ryan Brown. But the question last year was USC be able to run the ball? Could they be physical up front? They ran the ball for 178 yards. That's a feather in their cap. But again, like, trying to prove Oregon, I don't know if I can prove that USC is any good yet.
Yeah, moving out to the middle third. Number 8, more new friends, guys. Auburn. An interesting note on them. preseason had a win total of 7.5, but the payout was -170 to the over. So that's like Vegas telling me they expect this team to be closer to 8 wins in a very difficult SEC. They've got the Baylor win in their back pocket from week one. Baylor's won twice since that game.
But we're
they are headed to Norman, and we're headed back to Norman.
Oh.
The Jackson Arnold revenge game.
Yeah, this is sneaky, sneaky good game. But you mentioned that the over-under was 7.5 games. Okay, they won the 3 games, much like we're talking about Michigan State, Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama. Their next 4, number 11, Oklahoma, Greg Palm game of the week, number 10, Texas A&M, number 5, Georgia, Missouri. They still have games against Vandy, Alabama. I mean, throw in Mercer there. All right, so they're going to get 4. This is a tough stretch. We'll find out more.
3-0 versus 3-0. So a lot of weighted wins at stake here early in the season. And we got to shake out a very highly competitive SEC. And Jim, you nailed it. Last year, Oklahoma's quarterback was Jackson Arnold. He transferred to Auburn. He's coming back to Norman. And in my trip to Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, there was some talk of good riddance Jackson Arnold. And we have a quarterback now. Number 7, Texas A&M. Credit to them, man. They just kept hanging in with Notre Dame. Looked bad early. They had a block punt return for a touchdown. They were down 10 in the second quarter. Hung in there, took advantage of a critical mistake, and made a play on 4th and goal. Coming up this week, they've got a bye before playing Auburn. Number 6 is Miami of Florida. Look, didn't mess around with South Florida. Put some cold water on that story. We're moving on to Florida.
Noteworthy win, and I think their defensive line is championship caliber. They got a proven quarterback. I think they are in the list of teams that can win it all.
Number 5 is Penn State. With the preseason expectations fading here now, we're just being left a little bit more and more with Penn State with an unimpressive non-conference slate. Doesn't mean they're good, just means they're a little more unproven. Nevada, FIU, Villanova, kind of similar to the Oregon problem we're having here. And they are off this week before they are playing hosting Oregon in that whiteout game. Number 4 is Georgia, here to the top third of the rankings. Another team with another gutty road win. Wild ebbs and flows in that game in Knoxville. He had UT up 14 in the first quarter. Georgia storms back to take a 6-point lead. They trade back and forth, huge shots down the field. Gunnar Stockton, a touchdown pass on 4th and 6 and the game. And not to mention, UT misses a game-winning 43-yard field goal attempt in an era when college kickers have never been more accurate. And then Georgia wins it in overtime. Once again, they have also a bye week. Does anybody want to work anymore before Alabama comes between the hedges?
I don't know, but Georgia, they are, as you already mentioned it, so close to not being in this, or at least not being where they are. I picked them last week because I thought that their defense, giving up 7 and 6 in their first 2 games. Now, look at the opponents. But I am shocked that this Georgia defense is as bad as they appear to be.
Number 3, we got the Ole Miss Rebels. They are carried by the strength of 2 conference wins over teams who have 2 wins early in the season. So we got that win stacking early with them. Now, here's an interesting fact about them. If you remove the preseason factor, so we're talking about weighted games above 500 based on results from 2025 only, Ole Miss is tied for 2nd in the country with, ironically, their Egg Bowl brethren, Mississippi State. Fun fact, would you guys like to guess who is number 1?
LSU.
John.
Not even going to venture, I guess.
NC State. They are 3-0 against 3 teams with 2 wins apiece. So undefeated outside of the games that NC State has played.
Now, yeah. I want to clarify, because of the weighting, you're not going to put Mississippi State 2 and NC State 1 here.
Correct.
Okay.
Remember, this is why we still factor in preseason expectations here. Game of the week consideration here. They're hosting Tulane, who I have 17th in the rankings.
The Green Wave.
And the highest Group of 5 team. The only thing that prevented me from naming this game was the Jackson Arnold drama in Auburn, Oklahoma. And this game is still a bit of a free roll for Tulane. They can win this, or they can lose this game and still, 11-1, 10-2 still get in the playoff.
Okay. Who's number two?
Number two, LSU. Have we considered their best win might be Louisiana Tech? hey, they beat Florida in a solid game. That's all I'll say before Brian Kelly yells at me.
How dare you start with our offensive ineptitude?
Right.
The story of that game, though, was their defense. And Blake Baker, their DC, is going to be a head coach after this season. That was a masterclass.
The story of their whole season so to this point is their defense.
Number one, the Ohio State is number one, still at 3-0. Look, had a clunky game against arch rival Ohio. Hey, man, take a number. That's college football. You're not going to get your team up every week. Penn State had a game like that in week two. Michigan had a game like that against New Mexico in week one. It happens. The Texas win is still lifting them up. Once again, another team that's on a bye before they go to the West Coast and play Washington.
So just a little clerical correction here. Is it the or is it the?
Well, he's not going to do the.
But you know, so if you do the, you have to actually say the TM.
Well, I think the is just because it's the next word's a vowel, so that's why they say the instead of the.
Oh, okay.
I would say an Ohio State University, personally.
So, recapping, five SEC teams, four Big Ten schools, two from the ACC, and we finally have a Big 12 team in Greg Palm. We're getting to the point now where your resume matters. The wins you have are more important than what we thought you might be preseason. That's Greg Palm. It's 97.1.
FanDuel's getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you simply win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you're going to unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, build player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, whatever you want. FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is upon us, and we're 2 weeks in. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download the FanDuel app today and get started. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Looking at the clock, you got a chance to win $2,000 at 7:25 this morning, right around the corner.
Mm-mm-mm.
The two grand slam. All right, Lions have played two football games, two very different football games. Will the real Detroit Lions please stand up? John, what was more real, Green Bay or Chicago?
This is...
It's the question.
Well, it's the question, and the hard part is it's apples and oranges. Because it's an environment on the road at Green Bay. We offensively and defensively, major communication issues. And I was surprised at the defensive ones because when Green Bay is on the field, right, it's relatively quiet. And then it's the same thing when they're at home. Like, okay, communication's not an issue up front, and they run for, you know, 170 yards. They throw the ball for, you know, Jared Goff can't, you know, miss, and protection is pristine.
Yeah, they were polar opposites. I don't know which one the apple is and which one the orange is, but we'll leave that up to you guys. 248-539-9797.
I believe they're closer to what, and the other thing is, it's Green Bay is a better team than Chicago. Mm-hmm. I believe they're closer to what they were against Chicago than what we saw against Green Bay. But I can't show my work. Hmm. That's the issue. Like you mentioned, these college teams, like, okay, three games, nobody, and how do you prove it?
You prove it against teams like Green Bay, and they didn't. Like that's what makes this such a tough thing to dissect. I think the Bears game is more of who they are. It felt more familiar. I've seen this football team do that a lot in previous games going back to last year. It felt familiar. It felt right. Now, I want to be careful because as a Lions fan, am I just saying that because I want it to be true? They're going to have to prove it against teams like Green Bay. Like Green Bay is the game that you measure yourself against, not Chicago, but it felt familiar. So I think they're more like the Bears game. But I want to know if that's wishful thinking or if you guys see that and feel that too.
So here's the only way for me to show my work. And it's really offensively. When you play against a defense, like Chicago's defense, it's never been the issue. It's always been their offense. It's been the quarterback. It's been questionable coaching decisions, all of those different things. But as I mentioned yesterday, this is a Dennis Allen coached defense. Now, he's new to this group of players. there's always a transition, but Dennis Allen is a proven commodity as a defensive play caller. And I mentioned it yesterday, if Dan Campbell had hired Dennis Allen as their defensive coordinator, I don't think, okay, we would have had a new DC, but we wouldn't have had all of the conversation about the defensive play caller that we had this offseason. Kelvin Shepard, an unknown commodity, first time calling plays, all of that stuff. But Dennis Allen is a proven play caller on defense, and he's got guys like Montez Sweat, Grady Jarrett, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards. Like, those guys were up. Now, they didn't have Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, he got hurt. But their front, they paid a lot of money for that front, and Detroit's offensive line made them look like garbage.
Right, and if you score 52 points on a Dennis Allen's defense, you've done some work.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't like the narrative of, like, well, the Lions did what they were supposed to do. You're not supposed to win by 31 points in the National Football League. You're not supposed to have the most yards per play in franchise history. Like, what they did was not eke out a win and calm people down. They went out and put out the best offensive performance they've had, whether Ben Johnson was the coach or not. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they beat up a bad team. No, they had a great performance. That's not the expectation in the NFL to do what they just did.
And defensively, okay, you don't know what they are offensively. And I'm talking about they is being the Bears. Caleb Williams missed some open throws. It's not like he was horrific, but the one thing that I think this defense did the best wasn't pressuring the quarterback. I know they got four sacks. A lot of that was late. A lot of that was garbage time.
Pin
it was just, hey,
back.
Pin your ears back. Hey, it's third down and, you know, just go for it. They're throwing the ball all the time. The best thing they did was keep Caleb Williams in the pocket. They didn't let him out. They didn't let him get out there and extend plays, make, you know, and rush for a ton of yards, which is the big threat.
Yeah, I thought one of the keys in that game, Caleb was going to extend plays, and if you don't sack him, he's going to make a wow play. And Detroit did a good job of corralling him.
They corralled
him, not letting him make the wow plays, and actually punishing him for running around and trying to do too much.
Yeah. And, you know, that's when the interception came.
Yep.
And that's what you're going to get with Caleb Williams. So I think that's, if I'm trying to find ways to show my work, because Jack has, you know, math homework these days. And
do you help him with it? Or is it kind of past
limited,
your...
Yeah, limited. I mean, it's there's apps for that, which help dads out and moms. And so, but it's always about showing your work. So when I'm trying to figure out how to prove that the Lions are what we think they are against the Bears, more so than what we saw against Green Bay. Again, it's apples and oranges, but if you're able to keep a mobile quarterback in the pocket, that's a victory for this Lions defense.
Well, and it's going to be a necessity when they play the Ravens, which maybe that's the answer, is I'm going to wait and see how they look against the Ravens. But I could tell you this. But I could tell you this. Last year's Lions team was very good. Last year's Lions team might not have beaten the Ravens. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's possible that Detroit is more of the Bears game, still loses to Baltimore, and still goes on to win 12 games.
Yeah, and so, but this question doesn't let me play my game.
Your let it play out card.
Yeah, which is I appreciate you're trying to do, but I'm not going to let you go the easy route.
You know, this is a moment I'm so proud of you. This is great. Yeah. Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Packer game, Bear game, which game is the real game? Who are the Lions? Carter and Utica, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's up?
So, honestly, you know, I think we got a game like this every year, right? We got a game where, you know, we do absolutely crap, right? I mean, we're playing just terribly, and then somehow the next game, you know, we just get right back into shape. I think the game against Green Bay, I think that was just our one little mess up, you know? And I think, you know, the Cubs, I think that's the real apples, you know? I think that's the Lions whipped up in shape, looking good for the season.
The Bears, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You turned them into the Chicago Cubs there for a second. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, we did.
We got it.
We turned them into the Bear Cubs.
Yes. That's fine.
Yeah, whoopsies.
And we could use critical thinking skills to solve the
puzzle
the there.
Yeah.
We can show our work on that one. Appreciate it, Carter. So that's one vote early on. The Bear game is the real game. The Packer game's the tune-up. Ticket texters. The Lions are closer to what they showed in Green Bay, which I don't think is a bad thing because Green Bay has looked like the best team in the NFL through 2 weeks. Look, they might be closer to Green Bay because Green Bay is ultimately the type of football team they're going to be measured against. right? Like when all is said and done, their season isn't going to be about what they do in the games against the Bears and the Vikings or the Browns or the Giants. It's going to be what they do against the Packers and the Ravens and the Eagles, teams like that.
And yes, that's how they're going to be judged. But the question now is, are they the team we saw against Green Bay, or are they more the team we saw against Chicago? And if you're going to do that to a Dennis Allen defense, and you're going to be able to corral a very mobile quarterback, albeit undisciplined, but he makes his best plays when he's scrambling around trying to make something happen. He makes some horrific decisions.
Yeah.
And we've seen it last year. You know, the interceptions he threw against Tennessee early in the season were just terrible. But you keep him in the pocket, you make him a passer, you've done your job. And it's going to be tougher against Lamar. And even if you keep him in the pocket, he's a much better passer than Caleb Williams is. So that's where I'm looking at is I think they're closer to what they were in Chicago because the defense kept Caleb Williams in the pocket and the offense put 52 on a Dennis Allen coach defense. That's my work.
John, people are trying to help you show your work. We can read some of those ticket texts, and we'll make room for you on the phone lines, guys. 248-539-9797. Two Grand Slam at 725. And after the update, I'll tell you how you can win some tickets. It's 97.1.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.